Hey, welcome back to another episode of the Tomahawk Take Podcast. I'm your host, Jake Mastriani, and with me as always is Alan.
Hello.
And Fred.
Howdy.
And I say with me as always, Alan, but Alan had to miss last week, wasn't feeling well, so really glad to have Alan back with us as we get the season kicked off underway. And we are 1 week in, recording this on Thursday night. The Braves have an off day tonight and then start their home opening series weekend against the Phillies. I'm a little disappointed. I missed out on opening day tickets. I had some originally, and once they limited capacity, those got taken from me, and I wasn't able to get back in there and get them. But I'm sure everybody will have a great time at the home opener Friday night. Looking forward to seeing that and looking forward to getting to Truist Park whenever I can get a chance. So excited, again, the season get going, but unfortunately did have some downer news, I guess you could say, this week, or definitely is a downer, but Mike Soroka with a injury setback, shoulder inflammation. So not really related to the Achilles that he's healing, but shoulder inflammation, Alan, is the report on Mike Soroka being shut down for 2 weeks. And a little concerning to me, this is the second time in 3 years I think he's had shoulder inflammation like this. So a little worrisome there, but we talked on here before, you know, no real reason to kind of rush him back, make sure that he gets 100%. We want him throwing his best bullets at the end of the year and not wasting them at the beginning. But your thoughts on the news, Alan?
I'm just hoping, really, that it's kind of a repeat of what he had before, because that was something that he was able to overcome via strength training and specific exercises to strengthen part of the muscles in his shoulder that were kind of being underutilized. And I'm wondering if perhaps the time off from his injury and the fact that he had not been throwing as much and couldn't be throwing as much may have caused that to happen again. That's probably the best case scenario that could happen. We haven't heard specifically. That is the outcome I'm hoping for, at least. The shoulder obviously is a bad thing to have an issue with in general. And if it's anything else, then that could be a signal that could be a longer rehab session. But so far, it sounds like everybody's being cautiously optimistic. So I will be as well.
Yeah, that's definitely the way to go right now. I mean, like you said, he's gone through this before and was able to bounce back from it and had a really good year. But Fred, certainly, you know, Braves were hoping to get him back in mid-April, which, you know, I think we all kind of talked about maybe that was a little too soon. But what are your expectations now? Say, you know, if he's shut down for 2 weeks and he's able to start throwing then, you know, when can we expect to have Soroka back?
I think 2 weeks is optimistic. It's the same with the Tatis injury. Well, he'll be okay with rehab. This isn't doing any worse. Yes, it is, and they need to fix that. But for Mike, this is the same thing that happened in 2018, but the reason is different. It happened because he didn't pitch last year at all. I mean, he threw, what, a couple of games, and then he was done. He started, he stopped for the COVID thing. He came back and pitched in August. Then he was done for the rest of the year, and so his arm is, you know, back to like pre-2019. He hasn't really pitched. So you go out and you start throwing. You say, well, I feel good. And you're letting it fly and it's all right. And they're worried about the leg but you're running it up there pretty good clip for Mike, because he's not a fireballer, but he was running up there mid-90s. And that's not what he does. And now his arm and now his shoulder hurts. The history with shoulders is that if they become a problem, they remain a problem for pitchers, particularly. There's nothing surgically wrong with his shoulder, but he's already created a system whereby that shoulder's been injured twice and for the same thing. Now, I'm not saying it's going to happen every year, but I think that's part of the reason the Braves didn't want to give him all that money, even though he won it in arbitration, is because he's really, really, really had one season. He pitched really well in one season and five games. Aside from that, they haven't gotten anything out of Mike. I love what Mike does when he's on the mound. I like the way he throws. I like what he does. He likes the way he beats the ball on the ground. But he's got this history now, and it worries me to the point where I don't think he'll be back before to end of June, because they're going to take him really slow to make sure that shoulder is not in pain and there's no inflammation, and They will try not to give him shots in there because a shot in there just starts to make things worse. So I think they'll hold him back. Maybe not till June, but I certainly wouldn't give him the ball till June. And I don't think 2 weeks is enough to do anything for it, because having had both shoulders operated on a couple of times, 2 weeks isn't long at all.
Yeah, like I said, I'm trying to remain optimistic about it, but like you said, Fred, I mean, these shoulder things, I mean, they tend to continue to be a problem. And I mean, he's had something in every season now since he's been up to the big league. So certainly worries him for Mike. Hate it for him. He seems like a great guy, obviously really good pitcher. I want to see him healthy, put some good, healthy years together with the Braves. But yeah, the outlook for his future is definitely a little concerning with these shoulder injuries that keep popping up. But this is why Alex went out and spent so much money in the starting rotation. In my opinion, maybe spent a little too much on some of these guys, but you know, he saw what happened last year, and even the shortened season, you know, wasn't going to let that happen again. So the Braves have the starting pitching depth here to survive. Had a little scare with Max Fried the other day too. Luckily, you know, that wasn't anything major. You know, that would have been really devastating losing him and losing two of your top guys. But the Braves have the pitching depth to sustain this. So I think they'll be okay. Hopefully, like I said, they can slow play things with Mike, make sure that he's 100% before they bring him back. But certainly hate to hear it for him, because I know he was trying hard to get back as soon as he could and was looking like he was going to be back by the end of April. And like Fred said, now it could be June before we get to see him. But other big news item this week was the Braves made a trade in the first week of the season. So I saw the tweet from John Heyman saying that the Brewers were in talks to trade Orlando Arcia. And if you would have asked me, you know, a list of teams top to bottom who you thought was most likely going to be the trade partner, the Braves probably would have been at the bottom of that list. I didn't see the fit. I mean, you already have a bunch of light hitting middle infielders on your bench as it is. I mean, I like Arcia. He's a good, solid defensive player. Maybe league average, maybe a little below league average offensively. So I don't really understand the trade from the Braves' perspective. I mean, I get that, you know, Chad Sobotka and Patrick Weigel probably needed a change of scenery, and you know, maybe you clear some space on the 40-man roster and move those guys. But Fred, I don't really see the fit with Arcia when you got guys like Johan Camargo, which in my opinion, Arcia is probably better than Johan Camargo right now. But and you got Adrianza on the bench. But what did you think of the trade overall and how Arcia fits with this team?
Well, I was shocked. If you'd asked me where he was going, I just said Cincinnati, because they're playing Suarez at shortstop. But Arcia's a good player. Defensively, Gold Glove caliber defender at times. Certainly better shortstop than Camargo. I don't know that he's better than Adrianza. I haven't seen enough of Adrianza to know about that, and numbers don't tell me much. But he's got control. He's got options. He seems to be a well-liked guy. He was a well-liked guy on the Brewers. They thought a lot of him. A lot of talk about why they hated to let him go and all that. I think this may be the ticket for Camargo to someplace else. I hate to say that, because I've written about him on both sides over the years, but he just doesn't look like he cares. And the Braves don't keep people that don't care. I just think it may be the backfill for him. I mean, Adrianza is on a 1-year deal, and they've got control of Arcia. I think that, you know, that may be Camargo's ticket out of town as part of a package at some point if they need somebody. I like the deal from the talent side of the thing. He's not going to hit a lot. He had 215 homer years, but both of those were sort of juice baseball years, so you know, I don't put a lot of stock in that. But he's certainly a plus to the depth on the team.
Yeah, definitely gonna add some depth, but it's not necessarily the bench bat I would have, you know, preferred. You know, I think we need a left-handed power bat, obviously. So that's why, you know, I was a little taken back, Alan, when they made this trade. I don't know. I'm still a little confused by it. So maybe you can explain it to me, Alan.
Well, it's for those kind of reasons, but I think that Camargo's days are numbered. Because it doesn't make sense in any other context. You really didn't need him for the infield depth. You didn't need him for the bat depth. You need him for only maybe one purpose, and that's to replace Johan Camargo. I mean, this sounds fairly obvious to me that they don't want him playing at the major league level right now. And that's kind of crazy, but Yeah, it, I think there's not a lot of options there. I mean, I also don't even actually understand too much from Milwaukee's point of view. I thought he made more sense to stay put, but I'm like you, Fred. When I heard this was coming, I figured, okay, Cincinnati, right? Okay. He's headed there. Well, no. So the only reason that you can come up with really to justify this is that Johan Camargo has been put on notice. And in fact, it's probably once you get to this point, past the time of notice. So once Arcia and Adrianza both become eligible to join the team again, I think that Camargo may never see the major leagues again unless some bizarre emergency happens. Hate to say that, but I mean, we've been sort of having him on watch and for the last several months and even a couple of years now that we've been watching his performance, but he has not gotten better. His approach has not changed at the plate, and there doesn't seem to be any reason for this other than that the Braves have lost patience with him and decided, okay, that's it. So there you go.
Yeah, and one thing to keep in mind too is that Arcia has been playing third base in Milwaukee. They were moving him over to third base this season to make room for Luis Urias at shortstop. So Arcia has that flexibility now where he can back up third base as well, which again kind of eliminates the need for Johan Camargo. So that, you know, I guess kind of explains that deal. Such a weird trade because it doesn't make sense for either side, right? Like you said, it doesn't really make sense for Milwaukee either, in my opinion. So a weird early season trade there. There's another early season trade, too. The Yankees traded for Rougned Odor. So it was a really weird day the other day. I had to check my calendar, make sure it wasn't July 31st, and nobody told me. But we'll jump into some actual gameplay now as we are through a week of the season. The Braves have a 2-4 record. They got swept in Philadelphia to start the year, just a really ugly series, and then started off the National Series with a ugly loss as well, blowing a lead late. But came back on Wednesday and swept a doubleheader, which I didn't even realize these were going to be 7-inning games again. I hate 7-inning games, but I was glad to have them in this one because the Braves came away with both wins in the doubleheader. Really feels good to get those first two wins, Alan, and makes it look like a much better first week for the Braves. Certainly not great getting swept in Philadelphia, but I'll take the 2-4 record after that 0-3 start.
You know, it's kind of interesting to see the way that the pitching was aligned yesterday in that doubleheader, where we had Max Fried going the first game and then Steven Strasburg going the second game. They did not go up against one another. And yet, of all the things that you could have expected, Fried didn't make it out past the second inning. Strasburg pitched brilliantly, but never got the win because perhaps they decided not to go 7 innings with him. So it was not exactly the way you'd scripted anything, but somehow the Braves managed to come up with a win. And that was despite a bullpen that tried to implode in the first game, and despite the fact that nobody was getting any hits in the second game. But I kind of cut away all the weeds and such in this. Pablo Sandoval's acquisition and decision to put him on the roster is looking pretty good right now, isn't it?
Yeah. Yeah, I'll eat crow on that one. I did not think he was going to be making the opening day roster.
Well, I'll help you serve it and eat some as well, because I didn't expect it either. I kind of had the back of my mind that they'd like to keep him, but at the same time, I still figured Jake Lamb was going to be the guy. But guess what? Not only did he make the team, he's got some power.
Yeah. Yeah, kind of came out of nowhere and was very much needed. So certainly a big week for the Panda. But Fred, what was your overall thoughts on the first week for the Braves?
Well, you got to tip your hat to Wheeler, okay? Wheeler was virtually unhittable in his game. He was painting with 98, 99, inside, outside, up, down. People complained because they weren't getting hits off of it, but those pitches were really hard to hit. He was nasty. Eflin was good, and the Braves didn't take advantage of that. And I will go back to something I said a few weeks ago that the key to the lineup working at the top was Ozzie. And Ozzie did nothing in Philadelphia. And he did nothing in the first game in Washington. And when Ozzie hit, the Braves scored. And I know Panda hit the home runs, and I love the fact that Panda's having fun and doing the job we need him to do. I really think he's a plus on the bench and in the clubhouse. I think his personality is there. I think he's one of these guys that everybody likes to have around. And I didn't expect this kind of power from Panda, but hey, he went out there and he didn't give away any at bats that I saw. Ozzie wasn't there in Philadelphia. He never had a beat on Eflin or any of the pitchers in Philadelphia, really. They just had him buffaloed. And of course, Mad Max was out there the first game. And they got to Max early, but not Oz. I mean, Acuna hit him, and Freddie took him deep. And Ozzie just was lost. And then all of a sudden, he gets a hit. It wasn't a great hit in the first game. And then he got a line drive in the next game. I said, hey, Ozzie may be waking up. That's the key for me, is to get him going to the top, and this will be going. As far as worried about 2-4, no, I'm not worried about that. Some of these players are not going to be this good all year. In fact, most of them aren't going to be this good all year. And the Braves are going to get better. The bottom of the lineup still worries me, because the bottom of the lineup isn't hitting. And that's a problem, particularly when you've got Acuna leading off and you don't have anybody on base in front of him to drive in when he hits. But I I'm not worried about the lineup yet. It's early days, and everybody climb off back off the ledge and have a cup of coffee and give us some time.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, after what happened, you know, a couple of years ago, I guess 2019, when the Braves got swept in Philly to start the year and then came back and won the division, you know, people should realize by now what happened in that first series doesn't mean a whole lot. And, you know, home teams, you know, to start the year are going to have that big crowd advantage because they didn't have a crowd last year. So me playing high on emotions there, and certainly Philly has a raucous group of fans. So, you know, certainly definitely was disappointed. Didn't want to see them get swept, but certainly was not a big concern of mine to see them getting swept in Philadelphia, but glad they were able to go to Washington and get a couple of wins there. And now they come home, and I think once they get home, they're going to be able to breathe a sigh of relief. It's got to be really tough for these guys. You know, you're down in spring training for over a month and a half or whatever, and then you start the season on the road and you're gone for, you know, another week traveling, you know, different locations. This is a long time for these guys to be away from their family. And you've heard Freddie Freeman talk about it. You know, he just had, you know, two kids and hasn't been able to see them for 2 months now. So, you know, it's really, really rough. People don't really think about the toll that it takes on players like that. So I think they're going to come home, be rejuvenated, and hopefully come out, you know, swinging the bats well this weekend. Hopefully have some better bats against the Phillies this go around. Taking a look at some highs and lows from the first week, and Fred, I'll go to you first. Maybe give me one of your highs from the offensive side and one of your highs from the pitching side.
Well, I was really impressed with Yanoa yesterday. If you told everybody that we were going to have a bullpen game and a regular starter game, and Max was starting game one, you think, well, Max is going to go six and the bullpen's going to pick him up. And Max went two, just like, and the bullpen picked him up. And, you know, I said, well, if he's only going to go two, I guess I'll go five. And he went out, and they literally didn't touch him. I expected him to be three and done, because that's usually what happens. And in the fourth, he did start pushing the ball off the plate a little bit. He went three really good, and all of a sudden he was sort of trying to aim the ball, but he recovered. They didn't get anything off of him. He went, didn't go as far as Strasburg, but then, gee whiz, what did you expect out of it? I think that was the high point of the pitching for the week for me. And I want to say something about Sean Newcomb, and I'm going to write something here if I can figure out how to spell. I think if Newcomb wants to start be a starting pitcher, the first thing he has to do is embrace being a late-inning reliever. Because if he goes out and does that, then somebody's going to want him that thinks he's a starter. And they're going to come out and they're going to pick him up and they're all going to give him a shot at starting. You know, you can see that happening with teams like the Rays and the Reds and, you know, the Giants maybe. Just about anybody that needs it, the Cubs. People who want a starting pitcher with stuff. I think that what he did in the seventh inning yesterday was important for Sean Newcomb, and I think he needs to lean on that pretty hard. And I'm glad to see Acuna just destroying baseballs all over Washington, to the, you know, hit what, 500 in that series. So yeah, I'll take that.
Yeah, no, definitely a good week for both of them against the Nationals. We've talked about it. There's always, you know, he'll be cruising and then he has that one big inning where he blows up. And I think it was actually the third inning. He gave up a double to Steven Strasburg. And then he walked Victor Robles, and then Trey Turner's coming up, and you're thinking, okay, here's Anoa. He's gonna, you know, he's gonna lose it this inning. Things are gonna unravel. Next thing you know, he's giving up four runs, and he gets Trey Turner of all people to ground into a double play. Good play by Freddie Freeman at first base to start that double play. And he gets out of that, and you know, it was just like a huge sigh of relief. You know, that's the hurdle we've been talking about. That if he can get over that, you know, he can be a really good, you know, 5-6 inning starting pitcher. So. I think that was really huge for him, huge for the Braves, you know, really big for his confidence. But, Alan, what were some of your highs from the first week?
Well, since Fred took all the good ones, I'll go to Josh Tomlin on the pitching side because he's a guy that helped save the bacon in one of these games as well. He's pitched 3-plus innings so far. He struck out 4, walked only 1, and that contrasts with my downer of the pitching side, which is that we've still got too many bullpen guys walking too many guys. This is what we thought we had, is a bullpen that threw strikes and got people out. We did not think that we were going to have guys that were walking the house, and that's a problem. Luke Jackson's got 3 walks. Tyler Matzek had a good outing, but then he came back and he's walked 3 guys now. And Will Smith is still not quite Will Smith, it seems, apparently, too. So we've still got to get those guys straightened out. And I'm going to contrast that now with my big concern, and my big concern is not the Braves, because I think the Braves are going to be good. They're going to get their hitting squared away. They're going to get their pitching squared away. But my big concern is the Philadelphia Phillies, because unlike what happened when they swept the Braves in the opening series in 2019, that was a little more just because the Braves had pitching troubles and weren't really squared away as they should be.
They started Bryce Wilson and Kyle Wright in that series.
Exactly. And this time we started our best guys and the Phillies came out and beat us. And they not only beat us, but they also beat us with their bullpen. And that was the big thing that they needed to do to fix things and turn their ship around over the offseason. They've done it. They've proven it to themselves that they've got a bullpen that works. And these guys are going to be trouble all year, I think. And that's going to be interesting to see what happens now this weekend in the home Philadelphia series that we're going to start. Because if the Braves can't get these guys figured out in a hurry and we get to start with Zach Wheeler again, oh boy, they're going to take first place and hold it for a while, I think. And that's going to be a trouble for the season. I think I'm worried about the Phillies more than the Mets for sure, and certainly more than the Nationals. That's the tale of caution I'm throwing here, I guess, yeah. as we get out of the first week.
Yeah, and it is a rough first week for the Braves too, right? And it seems like this always happens to them, but they faced Aaron Nola, Zach Wheeler, Max Scherzer and Steven Strasburg in 4 of their first 6 games, you know, not to mention Eflin, who, you know, pitched really well and the Phillies are really high on him. And now they got to face Wheeler again. So, you know, with the Nationals first series being delayed, then they got the top starters from the Nationals in their series. So, you know, can understand the offense being a little slow there, but great point on the Phillies bullpen because they did look really good with Alvarado back there. I mean, he's got electric stuff. As long as he's throwing it in the zone, he's really good. Surprised they didn't get to Neris a little bit more. I think Neris is hittable. You know, he really only throws in the one pitch there in that splitter. But yeah, that Phillies bullpen was impressive that first weekend. We'll see. The thing with them is there's not a lot of depth there, right? I mean, if they lose one or two of those guys, then I think they're in trouble. You know, got Bradley there as well, but. Yeah, I mean, certainly they looked good, but Fred, what's your biggest concern for the Braves after the first week?
My biggest concern for the Braves is still the concern I had from the offseason. I know Riley's got some hits, but they haven't been really – I mean, he drove in a couple – but he hasn't been definitive hits. And the big pitchers have handled him really well. Pache, who I think will hit. I still think Pache is going to be a 250 hitter, but he hasn't found a groove yet. And and Darno's not going to get to pitch or catch every day because you don't want him worn out by July. I don't know that Ajax or even Contreras is going to be able to come up and do that and do the job. I just think the lineup, as deep as I think it is when they're hitting, they're not right now. I think that's a problem. Also, Martin's fingers worry me. Has that guy ever had a season where he wasn't injured? And you know, it's like he went out and threw that pitch in the postseason and he was done. And then he pitched okay last year it was a 60-game season, and he comes out this year and he can't feel his fingertips. That's a nerve issue, and maybe it's fixable. But he's looks to me like that guy who's just almost nearly really good, but he can't stay on the mound. And you know, I still don't know why Luke's here, but Martin worries me because they relied on Martin getting in there. Maybe Jones is the backup for Martin, and they didn't use Webb. They brought him up, and maybe Jacob Webb's going to slide in there if one of them collapses in a big heap. But Martin's the guy they went out and got, and yeah, he's supposed to be the guy, and I you know, he can be, but boy, between Martin and Riley and Luke, I'm worried about those three guys particularly. The rest of it, I think it'll shake out.
Yeah, I commented the other day, I mean, they brought in Josh Tomlin in a big spot against a right-handed pitcher, and you know, if that's who you're going to out of the bullpen for, you know, right. And I love Josh Tomlin. Don't get me wrong, but if that's the guy you're going to behind Chris Martin, like that's a little worrisome to me. So I think they got to find some other righties. I don't know why Jacob Webb's not in this bullpen already. I don't know why he wasn't from the beginning, unless it's just service time or options. You know, he had options and other guys, Luke Jackson didn't. But I don't know why Webb's not in the bullpen to me. He's the second
best.
Why
do we care if Luke Jackson has options or not?
Yep. And that's why I coughed before I said it. So, I don't get it. I think he's our second best righty behind Chris Martin. And so with Chris Martin out, and maybe it won't be long, you know, I think they gotta have Webb in this bullpen. I know there may be some, time restraints there. Apparently you have to be at the alternate site 10 days or whatever, but anyways, there's definitely a concern there in the bullpen for me from the right-handed side. And then Maxick, you know, Minter, they've gotten the job done. They haven't Minter's given up one run. Maxick hasn't given up anything, but it hasn't exactly looked smooth to me for either of those guys. And obviously throw Will Smith in there as well. So that concerns me a little bit, just the top guys in the bullpen. You know, those were the four, Martin, Minter, Maxick, and Smith, that you really counting on to lock things down, and so far they haven't really been locked down for the Braves. So, you know, really hoping, and again, 1 week, you know, I think Minter's had four outings, Maxick's had three, Smith's had three. You know, hopefully they'll turn it around and we'll be fine, and I think they still will be, but makes me a little nervous just because, you know, Minter out of nowhere, and Maxick really had great years last year, and again, the short season, short sample size, you just wonder, you know, can they repeat that, and can they repeat it over a full year? So that makes me a little nervous. But as we talked about with the bench, you know, bullpen arms can be fixed. AA's done it during a season once before. So that's not, you know, a major concern for me, but I would like to see those guys be a little bit more efficient going forward.
Just something real quick is that we had to have 14 guys in the bullpen, right? So why is Grant Dayton only faced one hitter? I mean, yeah. It's sort of weird.
Why was he the guy up in the first inning when somebody was in trouble?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And speaking of guys without options, there's another one. So.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I commented the other day and I broke my cardinal rule and I got an argument with Nakahoma Nation on Twitter and never should have done that. But I don't know. I don't know why Luke Jackson or Grant Dayton were on this roster. The only reason I can figure is because they were out of options and other guys had them. But to me.
Yeah, but they had to give Jackson a new contract.
Yeah. Again,
he wasn't their team control.
They could have non-tendered him, you know, for all I care. And I know there's people out there that love Luke Jackson, but no. Okay. But Grant Dayton makes no sense to me to be on this roster. You have a ton of lefties already. You know, he doesn't need to be on this roster. I'm saying it's nothing against Dayton. I don't know. He's saying that he's bad. I probably like him more than I like Luke Jackson, but there's no reason for him to be on this roster. And I was totally against them going with 14 bullpen arms in the first place. So that's kind of beside the point now, but looking to the future, we'll move on from that because we could go on a tangent for that for a little bit. But, the Braves do come back home this weekend. They'll play the Phillies. Like you said, got Zach Wheeler, again on Friday. And then they have a 4-game set at home with the Miami Marlins, who, you know, are hitting worse than the Braves right now. I think they only scored 3 runs in their series with the Cardinals this week. So, that hopefully will be a good winning homestand for the Braves. And then next weekend they go to Chicago, for 3 games in Wrigley, and the Cubs are struggling at the plate. A lot of teams struggling at the plate right now, which is, you know, typical. Pitchers are usually ahead of hitters this time of year, but, certainly hope it's going to be a good homestand for the Braves against the Phillies and Marlins, and then going to the Cubs next week. But, Fred, any final thoughts before we get out of here?
Well, I think the home cooking's going to do the Braves a lot of good. I mean, you know, they were in Florida, and then they've been on the road, and they didn't know they had a game postponed, and suddenly you've got a doubleheader. And it's not an excuse. It is a reason, but I'm not excusing them for not doing it. I mean, I'll excuse not hitting Wheeler because, geez, but, and his old running mate DeGrom came out to his first game and threw 24 fastballs at 100 miles an hour. And so, you know, you start to wonder, if those big arms are going to hold up all year. I think ours are going to hold up. I'm not so sure. You know, once Mike gets back, I think we're going to be fine, but boy, it was not a good week. So let's do better this week, guys.
Yeah, absolutely. What do you got, Alan?
Well, you know, it's hard to get in a hitting groove when you've got pitching like that coming at you every day. So, the fact that, you even got guys like Acuna hitting like he is actually a little surprising. But yeah, I hate to say it this way, but they kind of need a mediocre team to play to be able to get themselves off into a groove and off top dead center that way. But once they start getting some things falling, like Ozzy Albies did the other day, he got a hit to fall and then suddenly he was on base 3 times in a row. So, once those kinds of things happen, you get something good happening, I think they'll be fine.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, like Fred said, it's not an excuse, it's a reason. They've had 3 off days in the first week, and like I mentioned, they've faced 4 of the best starting pitchers in all of baseball in that first week. So, you know, a little understandable that the offense hasn't been able to get into a groove, so certainly think they will. And with this offense, you're just going to have highs and lows. I mean, we even saw it last year and the year before. I mean, this offense is going to have times where they're swinging and missing too much and not getting the home runs, and you're going to see them slump a little bit, but then they're going to come out and score 30 runs the next game. So, you know, that's just type of offense that this is. You got to take the good and the bad, as I wrote the other day. But yeah, certainly Acuna, great week. I'm really, you know, been saying it all offseason, really excited. Hope that he can stay healthy all year. He's got 2 home runs and 2 stolen bases as he begins that pursuit for a 40-40 season that I really hope that he gets. But yeah, behind him, Austin Riley and Travis d'Arnaud are second on the team with 4 hits apiece. So, definitely want to see, you know, guys like Freddie Freeman, Ozuna, Ozzy Albies get going at the top of that lineup. And I think coming home will do them a lot of good. We didn't talk about the All-Star game on here just because we could go down a rabbit hole there that may not be good for anybody and just create more anger and frustration. But I did want to mention it, as the Braves lost out the All-Star game. We will not have it this summer, and it has moved to Colorado. I let my feelings be known on TomahawkTake.com, so you can go and read that. And I know Fred and Alan have let their feelings be known in other mediums as well. But didn't really want to get into it on the podcast, but did want to mention it just for our listeners out there, to let you know that you can go and read some of our thoughts on that in other places. So make sure that you do check out TomahawkTake.com, as we'll have daily articles on there throughout the season covering the Atlanta Braves. But that will do it for this episode of the Tomahawk Take podcast. Thank you for listening, and we'll talk to you next week.
This has been the First Week Overreactions edition of the Tomahawk Take podcast, which is a production of TomahawkTake.com and Fansided LLC, a subsidiary of Minute Media, Inc. Opinions expressed on the show today are solely those of their participants. No, you can't blame Minute Media except for withholding their supervision. All rights reserved. One of the musical selections used today comes to you under the auspices of the Creative Commons license, terms of which are available at creativecommons.org/licenses/by/4.0. This was a piece by Kevin MacLeod entitled Opportunity Walks. His works are featured at incompetech.filmmusic.io. All other selections used come via rights purchased by TomahawkTake.com. Thanks for tuning in to the podcast today, and you have our pledge that this podcast will never run any longer than a Ronald Acuna Jr. homer. After all, it's physically impossible to do so. We'll catch you in the next inning. See you then.